huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge. We're back in the studio with more questions from my team on all things selling and money. Who's up next?
Hi there, my name is Amy.
You are Amy. Amy, this is everyone. Everyone, this is Amy. Amy, tell us who you are and what you do.
I am part of the CET bookings team, so a first point of contact for a lot of our clients, trying to find out why they are getting involved with Progressive and then recommend events that would be suitable for them.
Perfect. Said eloquently, perfectly, and succinctly.
Thank you.
That's all right. So what are your questions for me?
Okay, so as somebody that is new to sales, what advice would you give me to build my confidence in the sales industry?
I would say, very simply, learn as much as you can, as quick as you can. Now, people underestimate the power of being new to something. If you've gained a level of success in life, moving into a new industry can be difficult because you take this chip on your shoulder. So for example, I remember I'd got a brown belt in kickboxing and I went to a Qina Qigong instructor and he watched me for a couple of lessons, you know, thinking I knew what I was doing. But his art was really different to mine. And he said, look, Rob, it's good to have you here, but you need to forget everything you learned about kickboxing if you're going to get good at Qina and Qigong. And that was quite a powerful thing for me to hear because I was like, look at me, I'm a brown belt. So I was bringing my bravado and my what I thought was experience. Now, look, maybe you have got some transferable skills if you're eloquent and succinct like you are. If you can ask really good questions like George did, you can bring that. But having the student beginner mindset is power because no one wants to teach a know-it-all. No one does. Everyone wants to teach someone who will listen to them. So, by the way, the most successful people embrace and keep the student mindset, the white belt mindset, for the longest amount of time. I just did a live and talked about billionaires, and I've interviewed 21 billionaires on my show Disruptors, and I've had a few over the years that have been my mentors. And despite being billionaires, 30 years in business, they're still intensely curious. And they still ask questions of people who are worth much less money than them. So they maintain that white belt beginner mentality. So the beginner mentality is, I can learn from you, I can learn from you, ask you questions, and not bring the know-it-allness that a lot of people do. So basically, being a sponge and having that approachable white belt mindset, number one. Number two is getting good at asking good questions. And number three is the speed at which you learn. So right now, it's easier than ever to learn quickly. You can go down the gym and listen to music, or you can listen to sales training on 1.5x speed on your podcast. You can walk and listen to music, or listen to sales training. You could be in the car and listen to music, or listen to sales training. You can watch Netflix binge series in the evening, or you can watch sales. Now, some people are like, oh, well, you know, you need a life. But here's the thing. When you plant a seed, the roots have to grow deep first. And the deeper the roots, the bigger the tree. So this is quite unpopular, what I'm about to say, but it's only unpopular to lazy bastards and woke, entitled children. To everyone else, people like what I'm about to say. Why are people going on holiday for 5 weeks of the year when they're starting a new career? Why are they not working weekends? Why are they not starting early and finishing late? Look, if you've been in a niche for 5 or 10 or 20 years and you're an expert, that's the time to do that shit. But I don't take holidays even now. I do work-related holidays. But when you're starting something, especially sales, when you want to make money quick and you want to get good, why would you do all that? I don't understand. Now, I'm not judging anyone's life, and only you are the master of your own life. Some people say, oh, well, Rob, you can't say that. People need holidays to unwind. Most holidays aren't that fucking relaxing. The plane's delayed by 5 hours. The brochure made the fucking resort look a lot better than where you're staying. You know, the tequila's about, you need to remortgage your house to buy a fucking cocktail. Like, you thought the women and the men were hot until you fucking got there. Like, most holidays are oversold, especially those package ones. I see those package ones. All inclusive, 1,200 quid. Get a free disease when you sign up. What? Anyway, so what about taking 3 weeks instead of 5? Like, I cannot get my head around people who get up at 8 a.m. Like, fucking hell, the day is finished. The day is finished at 8 a.m. I get up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Again, you know, yes, you need your sleep. No, it's scientifically proven. Everything isn't about work. But, like, how much do you care about your career? Because I fucking love my career. And nothing is more important than my career. My wife and my kids are currently on holiday. I've been with my wife nearly 18 years. And they're on holiday and I'm not. And they are enjoying the fruits of my money. And I'm very proud of that. And they're staying in a very nice place, living it up. And I'm in here working. One, because that's what I want to do. And two, I want my family to be able to have lots of money to do these things. And the way that I do that is becoming rich. So too many people are like, well, I just want to do a 3-day week. And I want to work from home, and I want to be able to take the dog for a walk at 10 a.m. for 4 hours, and I want to finish at 3 p.m. because, you know, my mental health. Fuck's sake. Like, do you want to know a tip on having really good mental health? Be a fucking winner. The best thing for mental health is being successful and making money and getting results and seeing yourself going up the leaderboard and having good self-worth. So I know you didn't even ask this question. And I know I've gone on a complete rant. And I know David said I've got to be short. But this shit needs to be said. So, student mindset. Ask good questions. And for the next 6 to 12 months, do twice as much. Twice as fast. Because remember, once the shoot forces itself through the soil, all the roots have grown. So the quicker you can grow all the roots and you've got your fundamental knowledge of being a good salesperson, then every call you're going to do, you're going to have a higher chance of closing. That would be my answer.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Being in the property business and getting people to invest in you, you would have to kind of like sell yourself. How would you go about doing that?
Okay. So if you are not yet investing in property, because I guess most people who are selling the products and services that they've got, maybe when they start, they're not doing that yet. You know, you're not a multimillionaire property investor yet. That's fine. You've just started. So there's two things you do here. You tell them what you're doing and you tell them what I did. So if you don't have credibility and social proof, you borrow it from me. So for example, you say, this is really important, guys. You want to write this down. You say, the reason I decided to join for Progressive because I was inspired by Rob's story. Rob's got 340 properties. I mean, have you seen how good looking he is? You can just slide that in there if you want. Rob and Mark are pretty much the top guys in Peterborough. I couldn't even believe I lived in Peterborough and they lived here too. So what you can do is you can borrow my credibility. You don't have to borrow your own because you're just saying, that's why I align with Rob and that's why I chose to work for Progressive. And so what you need to do is you just need to memorize my story. I've written 19 books. You know, I became a millionaire before age 31. I became a multi-millionaire, deca-millionaire by age 35. So let's say you have aspirations to become a millionaire. I'm really inspired by Rob because he became a millionaire before age 31. I'm 20. I'm looking to beat him. And you can borrow all my credibility. And let's say they go, yeah, this, by the way, this will work 90% of the time. 10% of them who are a bit more like Mark will say, but what are you doing? And then you say, well, I'm at the moment, I'm reading all of Rob's books. I'm actually booked on to the 3-4 day property investing masterclass, and tell them what you're going to do and what you're looking into doing. And that is the way you build your credibility.
Then one more. How do you best use networking opportunities to expand your client base?
Okay, so this is something that a lot of salespeople don't do, because they get a bit dependent on lead flow from the company. So off your own back, I would go to the property and the business networking meetings locally to you. So Peterborough, and maybe, you know, within maybe a 20 mile radius, the other networking events. Now, before social media, and before the first company I worked for in 2006 was selling properties, but it didn't really have that many clients for us. So we had to go and find them ourselves. So in a way, you're quite privileged because you get all of your leads given to you. I had to go and find them myself. So we found all the local business meetups, you know, the Business for Breakfast, the BNI. There's obviously a PPN Peterborough, Progressive Property Network Peterborough, that has good numbers. And there's a few other local business and property meets. I'd get your ass to them. Here's another thing. One of the best ways to learn is actually through osmosis. Reading, fine, can be a bit boring. Listening, good, but maybe you don't retain a lot of it. But osmosis is when you just pick it up being around it. Like, imagine if you're on a building site with builders and you were there 10 hours a day for a year. You'd know how to lay bricks. You'd know how to build foundations. You could probably mostly build a house. You wouldn't have a degree. You wouldn't have any specific technical learning. You'd just be there on site doing it. So going to networking events and business events, there's going to be the odd millionaire. There's going to be property investors there. You're going to see the speakers. You're going to learn through osmosis. And then at a lot of them, you can stand up and do your pitch. And you did your pitch perfectly when you started. I'll just recite that.
Cool.
All right. Thanks,
great.
Amy.
Thank you.
So Kirsty, tell everyone a bit about yourself.
I'm a personal development manager here at Progressive. I've been here for 2 years and I love what I do.
Thank you. What would you say has been your biggest challenge being here 2 years? So what do you struggle with your mindset? What do you say in your head that you find a struggle? Don't worry, you don't have to pay for this therapy session. I'll do it for free.
Do you really want to know?
Yeah, I do.
No, I'm not going to go into that. There's a bit too much.
Okay, so beneath that level, the level above, mm-hmm. What is it you struggle with your mindset, or what do you sometimes think?
Is this to do with my sales, like my question, or just you want to know about me and my mind, or what?
I want to go deep, but you don't want to go there. And so we'll give you another week to prepare before you come back. But the reason, we're just having a chat, by the way.
Okay.
I want to know, because you said the challenge you have been with us 2 years is your mindset. So let's keep it to sales specifically as opposed to personal.
Yeah.
What sales mindset challenges do you have?
So most of my sales, I am a people person. So I tend to build great relationships with clients, and that's where I get most of my sales from.
Yeah.
Mine is how to be more assertive without being too aggressive, if that makes sense. So mine's more about
being... Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I have something for you.
Go on.
Can someone else write this down for Kirsty? Is that all right? So she can be in the moment. So the fact that you know you're a people person and you develop relationships with your client, you need to sell this to everyone. So, you know, when you're talking to someone, you could just, when you get the opportune moment, when they ask you a question or you have the moment, say, I just want to let you know, I'm not an aggressive type of person. I just don't like that. I'm a people person and I like to build, you know, long relationships. So you can always feel comfortable with me. I never try and like hard sell you or anything like that. I just don't like that. I want to build long relationships. I just thought you could know that about me. That is going to be so disarming. And people are going to immediately connect with that.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing in yourself is the downside of not being more direct, mm-hmm. instead of the upside of how you are.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of types of people that would only want to be sold to by someone like you and would not want to be sold to by someone more aggressive and direct.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is really important what I'm about to say. You do not want you and your tone and the way you sell to come across as aggressive and invasive, you want your strategy to create that. So I don't go hard on scarcity and urgency, and you've got to do it now, otherwise you're a loser. The deadline is here, you have to sign up now. You don't hear me use that language. I just create an irresistible offer, and it's the offer that creates the fuck, I've got to do that.
Yeah.
So when you're clever, you can create the urgency that you're looking for and get the sales in earlier and sell more, but it's not you. I'll give you an example. I sold Rob.team Gold yesterday. We sold, it's what, £30 a month. We sold 157 and we've got loads of phone numbers to phone. I mean, we fucking smashed it. Smashed it.
As you always do.
Thank you. And said with humility, there is not another person alive who would have beat me in that environment. And I didn't sell them hard. I just gave them an offer that it would be ridiculous to refuse. And I just showed excitement and enthusiasm when offering it. Hayley, we need to get the recording. Like, sometimes when our team, you know, have the tickets and get the offers, what they don't have in it is hearing me sell it. And when they hear me sell it and I'm excited and I'm like, it's like so hard, but it's not hard. It's just the energy that's in it. That energy transfers. So you don't use gimmicks and tactics. You use strategies, irresistible offers, and energy and enthusiasm and excitement. So earlier I talked about, if you don't yet have credibility in the products you're selling, borrow mine. So what you need to do is get really excited about working for Progressive. You need to get really excited about, you know, my results and my journey, because you're able to borrow that credibility from me, and then that credibility transfers onto you, and then that excited energy transfers onto them. Because, you know, I learned this 15 years ago. In many ways, sales is a transfer of energy. So if you're like, well, yeah, you know, I've got this sponsorship package, and the first level's £5,000 and the second level's £8,000. There's no energy there.
No.
So I'm not saying you do that. I'm just, you know. But where you lack in credibility, where you lack in belief, where you lack in knowledge, which you don't, because you've been here 2 years, you make up in energy. And if you don't have the result to sell the client, borrow my result. You're working here after all. I'll give you another tip here. I'm going to do this in our training session because we've got sales training session upstairs. If you need to be brutal, here's what you do. You do what I said earlier. You do the three yes sets, but you say, Rob told me something 3 months ago, which really hit me. And then you tell them what I told you, but you're telling them, but you're not telling them. You're telling them what you learned from me. It has the same effect, but it disarms them. Yeah, because if I said to you, look, just get in at 7 a.m. for fuck's sake and do 75 calls a day. It's simple. You know, whereas if I said that I was working for a sales guy, you know, 10 years ago, and he said something to me which really hit home. And I was a bit resistant at first, you know, because I wanted to have a social life and everything else. But he said to me, you know, for that first 6 months, you've got to start early and finish late. For that first 6 months, you're growing the roots down. It's only 6 months of your life. You don't necessarily need to go on holiday. You don't necessarily need to go out every weekend. It's just 6 months. But if you go all in on those 6 months, you're going to change the next 10 years of your life.
Yeah.
That's a much better way of saying it. It's more persuasive.
Of course.
Cool. Have you got another question? Well, you haven't actually asked a question yet, have you? It's just a therapy session.
That's me done then. Happy days.
Come on.
Well, the question I was going to ask, away stole it.
No, I don't think you stole it. I don't think you'll be going to prison for that. What have you got written down? I'll maybe ask it, answer it in a different way.
Well, there's a few questions I've got. It's how to stay motivated after consistent rejection.
Okay, stop. That's a good one. How do you stay motivated after consistent rejection? It's all about how you perceive rejection. So to me, rejection is motivating. So that statement assumes that rejection is demotivating. I think rejection is motivating. So let me ask you, why do you think that I think that rejection is motivating? Like, why can I love it?
Because it makes you more determined to close the next one.
Yeah, make me more determined, yeah. Have you ever been rejected by someone and want to prove them wrong?
Yes.
I'm fucking hell. I mean, I love that. I know some spiritual, you know, sort of slightly hippie people say, oh, well, no, you shouldn't hold on to any of that angst. It's just all about yourself. You shouldn't worry about what other people think. Just forgive them. Just let it go. No, motherfucker, when you were 15 and you told me I'd be a loser, look at me now.
Yeah.
I think that's a really motivating energy. Obviously, use more refined language than me. When I was 12, everyone called me a fat cunt. You can edit that. You can beat that out, David, if you want to.
Nope.
That was... No, he doesn't want to. The fat cunt. Not fat bastard.
Mm.
Fat cunt.
Yeah.
And I fucking hated being called it. And they called it to me over and over and over and over again. And that was the greatest gift ever. Because I left that school because I hated what they called me. I begged my mum and dad to get me to leave the school. I had to beg them for a year. I'd cry on the phone to my mum every weekend. Let me out of this place. I hate it. And every time I spoke to my dad, I pretended I was fine. Oh, no, no, I just want to leave. I hear this school is better for grades. I lied to him. I hated it.
Mm.
They finally let me leave. The summer holidays, I lost 3 stone in 8 weeks. And I went to the new school, not a fat kid anymore. But I still held all the baggage. And I know the people who called me a fat cunt. Because I remember it. And I am doing a lot better than them.
I bet, yeah.
And there's... Look, I would, if they were here, I would thank them. Because they gave me motivation. Mm-hmm. All the people that were nice to me. And, oh, Rob, you're just big boned. Oh, you know, you just got a big frame. And apparently... A skeleton weighs like just a few kilos. So there's no such thing as big boned. I was fat. And they were telling me the truth. They were just hard about it. But I don't want to say the names, but I can remember the names. Remember. And some of them were my friends.
Yeah.
And I can remember the names. So rejection is motivation.
Okay.
The next thing is you have to be rejected in order to be successful. The more rejections you get, the more sales you get. Even if you never improve your skills, let's say you've reached your ceiling of skill level, let's say, which you haven't, you're going to continue mm-hmm. to get better. But let's say you reach your maximum skill level. You're there. If you double the amount of rejection, you're going to double the amount of sales you do.
Good.
Now, a lot of people, they worry about what other people will think. Now, I know that once I've spoken to that person and they've put the phone down, they're not going to be thinking about me anymore. They're going to be thinking about their bills, their dog that they've got to take to the vet, the divorce they're going through. You know, they're not going to be thinking of me being a bit pushy or asking a direct question on a call. They've just completely moved on from thinking about me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kirsty.
Thank you.
Yeah.